I could just read a few scriptures in the second epistle to the Corinthians, starting in chapter 8. The second epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sakes he, being rich, became poor, in order that ye, by his poverty, might be enriched. And then go back a page. Chapter 5 and verse 17. Second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 17. So if anyone be in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of that reconciliation, how that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning to them their offences, and putting in us the word of that reconciliation. We are ambassadors therefore for Christ, God as it were beseeching by us, we entreat for Christ, be reconciled to God. Him who knew not sin, he has made sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. And maybe we'll just refer as well to in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. But we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus Lord, and ourselves your bondmen for Jesus' sake. Because it is the God who spoke that out of darkness light should shine, who has shone into our hearts, for the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassingness of the power may be of God and not for us. In many ways, following on from what we were reading this afternoon in Romans chapter 7, where we become convicted that nothing we can do can make us good enough. So, some of these scriptures in Corinthians, the ones in chapter 4 and chapter 5, they struck me as they were read in words during the funeral this week, in a slightly different context and in a different order. For there is a great assurance that one with Christ can have. And it's just something I'd want to share with you this evening. Is it an assurance that you have? Are you comfortable with what happened? When God comes and we're all taken away from here, you can say, how can I answer God? Of course, some might say, who is God? But we see here in chapter 8 where I started, we can see what God has done. We can see him expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see how far God has reached us. Now there are other scriptures in the Bible where we can read about God himself and how he has worked with mankind right from the Garden of Eden when he created Adam and Eve. And we can see God's purpose there. It was in some ways veiled to them, but we can see he created Adam and Eve and put them in a garden, gave them a job to do, to tend to the garden, and then he came down to spend time with them. He wanted to spend time and enjoy spending time with mankind then. God was looking for a response to his heart, and of course at that time he couldn't fully expose to them what was in his heart, because part of the point of man in the garden was to expose the underlying wickedness of ourselves and the fact that God has an answer. But that has to be worked out through time. And we see through the whole scope of Scripture how there is a demonstration time after time of our own unworthiness. Back in Yeovil, we've been reading through the book of the Judges, and you can see an illustration of the unworthiness of mankind. You can see how this people that have been brought out of Egypt, saved from slavery, had a very personal and deep relationship with their God. They followed his pillar of fire and pillar of smoke for 40 years. and brought into a land. They've known the deliverance of God, but yet they have these peaks and troughs where they keep on falling away. Just like you can point to Adam and Eve in the garden, put into the very best circumstance, and you see them falling away. And of course, it's the same for us, because we can't just point and laugh at the children of Israel. We look at them and we see, that could have been me. I am no better than them. Read of some of the terrible things that are recorded in the Judges. If I was in that circumstance, maybe that would have been me. I am no better than anybody else. But we see that in my poverty, my lack of worth, there is a light in the darkness. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sakes he, being rich, became poor, in order that ye, by his poverty, might be enriched. The Gospels are full of the recording of the life of Jesus. We can see how he came to this earth. In John, we have recorded for us a little glimpse of what happened before, of how there is this not fully revealed, but we can see the person of the Lord Jesus was there in creation. By his hand, the worlds were formed. Elsewhere, I think we get. But we see, not fully revealed, but we can just see the greatness of the one that we're dealing with. A reminder of the magnificence of the Lord Jesus. But yet, he humbled himself. He stooped to come into this world. And we know that he, being God, humbled himself. Laid aside, just put to one side the glory that was his by right. And came here, just like you and me, with nothing to his name. Now, you might say, we're better than that. We've got things to our name. We've got material things. But we didn't have what he had. He had a living link with his Father at all times. He was perfectly obedient to God. God was able to say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I found my delight. Hear him." So in that sense, he had all of the riches that none of us have. But yet, practically, he had very little. But yet, he was always obedient. We see how he walked through the Gospels, always ready for someone that needed salvation. I remember someone, it may be slightly fancifully, but we talk about how God would say to him, "You need to go here, there is somebody who needs you." Now, I can't go very deep into that, but I can say that the Lord Jesus was there for those that needed him. Those that nobody else would touch, the lepers for example, he would touch them, he would heal them. He was able to do so because he was rich. He had all authority, but yet he made himself poor. He'd taken a place that you might say lower than any of us, and he served. He served God and he served man. In order that ye by his poverty might be enriched. Now, of course, we know there were two stoops involved. One stoop into manhood, taking on our fall, and going through everything that we've gone through, and even more. If you think about the temptations and trials that you've had, the difficulties you've had just living life, he had more than that. He went through all of those trials and tribulations, and the devil specifically targeted him and threw anything he could at him, and nothing went in. There was a proverb about the way, or was it the way of the serpent on the rock? Just think about a snake going over a rock. It can't do anything to the rock. It can just move on and well, it can't break it, it can't go into the centre. The illustration would have been drawn forwards, talking about the Lord Jesus as a rock. There's nothing the devil could do to him, nothing that could break his perfection. He tried. We see in the Gospels, he really tried. 40 days and 40 nights was it. And we have a few recorded for us, but I believe the suggestion is it was non-stop. No thoughts of failure. But we see the humility of the Lord Jesus that went on to the cross. So that then just leads us into chapter 5. Because here we have the thought of that reconciliation. What was Jesus here to do? He was here to repair the breach, to bring together that which was sundered apart at the right at the beginning in the garden. We see how Adam and Eve had to be pushed forward, pushed forth from the garden. They couldn't exist there. God had to come in judgment. But in his mercy, he chose exile rather than death. Death was upon them, and they did in time die. But they come down to us. There is a lineage that comes down to us. And we can see in that sundering there, the reconciliation that the Lord Jesus did, spoken of in chapter 5. That God doesn't change, of course. We can always remember that. But he has removed our distance from him. He has brought us to him if we but accept the Lord Jesus. That is what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. He took our unrighteousness, our unworthiness, our sin upon himself. What he did is he looked at me and he looked at you and he saw there is no way that you're going to be right with God. There's nothing that you can do. In yourself, you're worthless. You cannot please God. But I will take all of that away from you. I'll put it on myself. And I'll put it out of sight. I will deal with the punishment from God. That's what Jesus said. And he did. That's the remarkable thing. As we read through the accounts at the end of the Gospels. The Lord Jesus on the cross. In those 3 hours of darkness. He took sin and sins upon himself. And dealt with them before God. Just think of what you've done wrong and then having to stand before God and explain what you've done. And then have him punish you for what you righteously deserve. It's not anything that any of us could endure, but because of the Lord Jesus, because he did it for us, we don't have to. We have been reconciled to him. Now, of course, these words were written to believers on the assumption they were reconciled. It's reached one of us to be comfortable in ourselves, that we are part of that number, that we have asked Jesus to forgive us. We have accepted what he has done. We have known the peace of being reconciled to God through what the Lord Jesus gave. Him who knew not sin was made sin for us. That's a huge topic. We see the anguish of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels. In looking on to this. This was a huge matter for him. But he loved you so much he went ahead and did it. That we might become God's righteousness in him. And that then just leads back into chapter 4. And again, this was something that was referred to in the week. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are not perfect. And you may find, even after you trust the Lord Jesus, you're still not perfect. You find discouragements in walking as before God. We talked a little bit about this again in when we were talking about Romans 7. Yes, as a sinner, I may come to understand that I am worth nothing and I cannot please God, but I can lay hold of what Jesus has done because he has pleased God. But then still, the practicalities of the pathway, I may sometimes forget. I may fall away. I may not be the best that I ought to be. But there is always that I can be brought back to remember that Jesus has done everything. I don't need to worry about that. The point being made, of course, is treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure inside of us that never goes away, never tarnishes, never breaks down. When you ask Jesus to save you, that treasure is created and it will never go away. We have earthen vessels around us, pots of clay, things that are, we can look at our flesh, we can look at the things we do, things we think, and be dissatisfied with them. But let us always then remember that which the Lord Jesus has done, he's done forever. There's no taking that away. We just have to return to him and he will refresh us. He will refresh the outside, make it more in accordance with the inside. And in some ways, maybe scrape off a little of the outside so that what's inside may shine away. And of course, the scriptures then often picked up as when there are those who have died, then the earthen vessel is completely gone, but the treasure remains. So I would just like to encourage us all with the difficulties of life that we go through. Jesus is available for everything, and what he has done will never be undone. Let us just cling to that. And above all, are you comfortable that you have this treasure? Are you comfortable that you know the Lord Jesus?